Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, AEW has done it one more week. This is the third week in a row that they have broken the 1 million mark as far as viewers are concerned, this one being their highest at 1.15 million people. Now, I want you to remember that one of the worst rated episodes of Raw several weeks ago was 1.4. You're talking a difference of approximately 300,000 people. That's a lot of people. But you're also talking about a company that's been in business 3 years, as opposed to a company that's been in business long before any of us were born. So this is leaps and bounds, and this is a very, very good sign for AEW. And I know people are saying, well, they're holding special shows. It's almost like a pay-per-view. Yeah, I get that. But it really doesn't matter because all of the talk in the wrestling world the last, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks has been AEW. They've managed to steal the spotlight from the WWE by signing Daniel Bryan, by supposedly and from all indications signing CM Punk. And the deal is the ratings aren't going to get worse. When they actually bring in Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, the ratings are going to get a spike. Now, it may be an artificial spike that only lasts a few weeks or a month, but it's still going to be a spike. And if you're spiking it at 800,000, maybe you reach 1.1 million or maybe you reach just a million. But they're looking to spike it at close to 1.2 million. If they spike it, having a normal rating of about 1.15 million, they could potentially get 1.4. And then they are, in fact, in Raw territory now, very bad Raw territory. For instance, this week's Raw, amazingly enough, did like 1.8 million. Which is incredible, really, considering how bad Raw's been. It was a little over 1.8 million, I think. So, I mean, yes, AEW has a long way to go before they catch Raw's normal ratings. A normal Raw show is probably right in that 1.6 to 1.7 rating, million rating. But still, you're talking about dangerously close here. The day that AEW hits the 1.4, which I think is probably the lowest Raw rating of all time, they can legitimately say they have approached Raw ratings. Now, I know there's a lot of people going to say, well, yeah, they'll do it one show. Well, that's what you said when they were doing the high 900,000s. Yeah, but they don't do it consistently. And you were right, they weren't doing it consistently. AEW was very, very they fluctuated a tremendous amount. AEW would do 9.5 one week and 8.2 the next. And then they'd go back up to 8.7 and then they'd go down to 8. And you just, why? Who knows? This is 3 weeks in a row consistency that they've broke 1 million people. And the report is that Vince McMahon has said, and again, take this with a grain of salt. Vince McMahon has said, I do not see AEW is legitimate competition like I did WCW. Okay. Well, I don't know why that would be. I'm not sure why that would be. No, they're not the same night as you. But they're legitimate competition. And then supposedly he joked and said, you know, maybe we'll give him some more stars. Well, here's the thing. You've already pissed off your networks because they want to know why. See, these networks, they're not huge wrestling fans. So all they know is, like, big names. They hear Hulk Hogan's going to make a guest appearance on Raw. They're like, oh, boy, great. They don't know. They don't know. So they hear CM Punk, and they know that was a big name. And they say, well, why didn't you sign him? Well, what's the problem here? How much money we're giving you for a TV show? How come you didn't jump on him? Well, the WWE, according to everything that I can find, had no interest in working with CM Punk. As a matter of fact, Vince McMahon said he'll never work with him again, and it's the one person that he will not do business with. Now, this is saying something. Now, I don't care how you feel about Vince. Vince McMahon was the man who took back Jeff Jarrett after Jeff Jarrett basically said, hey, my contract is expired and I don't even have to go out and do this pay-per-view. I want $500,000 cash to drop the belt to China, which is basically blackmail. Vince McMahon paid it, fired him, said on national television when he bought WCW that Jeff Jarrett would never be in the company again. He's fired, hired him back. Ultimate Warrior held him up I don't know how many times. Vince McMahon said one of the best things I've ever done is waiting for him to get back into the dressing room so I could fire him. I was so mad at him, hired him back. Bret Hart punched him in the face and spit on him, hired him back. So Vince McMahon is not exactly a guy who holds a grudge as far as hiring you back. Now, he might hire you back to make a fool out of you or whatever, but he'll hire you back. He don't want to hire CM Punk. Now, that clearly tells you that he thinks that there's a poison there. And I know that other people have said the same thing. Now, some of the wrestlers had said, well, you have to understand that CM Punk, in his later year with the WWE, was extremely unhappy. So being extremely unhappy, he was miserable to work with. He was miserable in the dressing room. He was a miserable person in general. And he was hard to get along with. He was hard to work with. He was a poison in the locker room. But then again, he was very, very unhappy. So some of them are speculating if he's happy and everything's going to go well, then it's going to be a brand new CM Punk. Well, I hope you're right. Hope you're right. But you are taking a chance with this one. Because at the end of the day, CM Punk could come over there and really annoy some of your top guys and some of your future stars. He could really steal a spotlight from them. He could really kind of, lowbrow them and just say, you know, you're not on my level. And he's like that. He's a polarizing sort of figure. Now, maybe some time off and the realization that he's not everything he thought he was going to be has changed this guy. This is a man who legitimately believed, I want you to understand this, this is a man who legitimately believed he could walk out of a World Wrestling Federation, WWE ring, directly into the octagon and be a top contender. And he couldn't beat guys who had no record at all. God forbid someone, a ranked UFC fighter, went against him. God forbid. So this is a guy who, much like Bret Hart in his later days, really started to believe his own hype. The greatest in the world. Now, if you want to boil it down, CM Punk was good at one thing. CM Punk was good at making you think he was better than he was. CM Punk in the ring, I remember this very clearly, very distinctly. I'd never seen CM Punk before, ever. And I went to a house show for ECW, WWE's version of ECW. And they had CM Punk in a match. Now, he didn't get to use the mic. He didn't get to do anything. He just get to come out and wrestle. It was the most boring match I sat through that night. It was ridiculously boring. And I've always said, and I've always maintained, and I know I'm the, you know, the minority here, I've always said he's vastly, vastly overrated in the ring. What he is good at is self-promotion, hyping his own matches, talking up a storm, and getting people interested and controversy. That's what he's good at. We'll see. Because now he's going to be in there against guys who are going to really test him. Because unlike the WWE, who said, well, just go out there and do 3 and 4 minutes and 6 minutes. And don't worry about it. He's going to be with guys who are going to test him. And he's not 30 years old anymore. And there's going to be some guys there who are going to say, well, you know, if I can blow Punk up, I can make a name for myself. We're going to see how long his good attitude lasts. We're going to see how other people react to him. And it'll be very interesting. I'm more interested in the backstage ramifications of signing CM Punk than I am actually watching him in the ring. Because while I hear all the AEW people just can't wait for Daniel Bryan, they're embracing him like a fallen hero has come home. I don't hear that with CM Punk. I hear trepidation. I hear people being cautious. I hear people saying the right thing. Well, you know, he's a big name. He's one of the biggest stars in the world. It's a great acquisition for the company. But nobody's saying, oh, man, this is going to be so cool. I can't wait like they are with Daniel Bryan. Now, I don't think you could get two more polar opposites than Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And that's why Vince McMahon is not one bit upset about CM Punk going to AEW. Vince McMahon thinks CM Punk is going to inject the poison. Vince McMahon is like, good, he's your headache now. You deal with the SOB. You deal with his antics. You deal with him belittling other people in the Federation. You deal with him refusing to follow what you want him to do. You deal with all that crap. But he's furious about Daniel Bryan. That's what I've been told. He's furious because he feels like it's a betrayal. Because apparently they were really seriously working to try to get some kind of partnership with New Japan for no other reason than that's what Daniel Bryan said he wanted to do. He would stay if he could wrestle in Japan, and they said, okay, we're going to try to work out a deal with New Japan so that you can stay, and we're actively trying to do it. And I guess Vince McMahon feels like, you know, this is somehow a betrayal. Well, you know, look, Daniel Bryan is reaching the end of his career. And if he wants, if he's got a bucket, career bucket list sort of a thing, you can't blame him. Now, if Daniel Bryan goes on AEW and badmouths WWE, then I will have lost a lot of respect for him. But I'll bet he won't. I'll bet you he will not do that. Because I don't think that's what Daniel Bryan's about. Now, with CM Punk, all bets are off. I don't know what he's going to do. But I do know this. Tony Khan and company got to watch themselves very carefully. Because if you think it's cute and cool and sassy and hip to say, let's get CM Punk to say all kinds of horrible things about Vince and WWE, no, it's just going to look like you're petty little creeps. Just go on with your federation. You are at a turning point right now. You're coming up on 3 years. And you're at a turning point with your federation where you can just look forward and not worry about Vince McMahon and the WWE and just do what you do. Or you can continue to buy out their wrestlers and say, will you talk bad about them? Will you get on the microphone and say they suck? Will you wear a T-shirt that says something bad about WWE? Will you pretend to be Vince McMahon? Will you do a Vince McMahon impersonation? Enough. Enough. It's not college frat boy week. Worry about your federation. Because you've done one really, really good thing in signing Daniel Bryan, and you've done one questionable thing in signing CM Punk, and you have got to understand. Talk to Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana was his best friend. And if you believe Colt Cabana, he stabbed him in the back. Because CM Punk is all about CM Punk, and that's it. CM Punk is this generation's Hulk Hogan. where Hulk Hogan would literally go, well, if it ain't good for me and it doesn't further my career, F you. I'm not out for anybody but me. That's CM Punk. That's not Daniel Bryan, but that's CM Punk. So that's what you got coming to your door. So, Mike, while it's great that AEW has broke the 1 million mark 3 weeks in a row, and I have to assume as soon as these guys debut, they're going to go way higher. There has to be some trepidation here because you are dealing with a guy who at times has been known to be very, very polarizing and divisive.
And frankly, yeah, you're right. And frankly, here's the deal. Here's something else. He poisoned his wife, AJ Lee's mind. He poisoned her. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
If he hadn't gotten a hold of AJ Lee, AJ Lee might very well still be in the WWE. You know?
Yeah, you know, I agree with that to an extent because AJ Lee changed after she started dating or she was with CM Punk. And I'll tell you how she changed. AJ Lee's strong point was that she looked exactly like the character she was portraying. In other words, people could watch that and say, that really looks like her. It's not a character. It doesn't look like a character. See, this was always the problem with Aleister Black. I always felt Aleister Black was a guy playing another character. I never once felt like Aleister Black, that's really him. AJ Lee, that character, her body language, her facial expressions, everything about her screamed this cutesy little girl next door stalker who could get you in so much trouble that even the toughest of wrestlers is afraid of, you know, Jesus, this girl is going to cause a world of crap. And that's what she did. And people believed it because it was very believable. But then as soon as she got with CM Punk, it was, oh, well, I don't want to, you know, this is anti-woman and I want to portray a much different, please. You had a great character. You had a great character. Would you do that if you were an actress? If you were an actress and they said, you got to play this, you know, trampy little homewrecker, would you say, well, that's a very derogatory character for a woman to play. So I don't think I'm interested in your part. Of course you wouldn't do that. You'd say, hey, well, whatever. There are people who play worse. There are people who play murderers and child abusers and terrorists and everything else, right? That's what an actor does. She didn't want to do it anymore. That's a plant probably from the old CM Punk mind of they're exploiting you. Nah, she wasn't being exploited. So again, let's see what happens. Let's see if CM Punk he's going to definitely drive the ratings up for a little while, but then let's see if there's a problem backstage. There's a lot of egos in AEW. I would argue there's bigger egos in AEW than there is in WWE, because the WWE sort of beaten the ego out of everybody. AEW has a lot of guys with a lot of ego. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Anyway, this week's AEW, something pretty surprising happened. Well, two things surprising happened. One, of course, is that Hangman Page lost, meaning he's not going to get a shot at Kenny Omega's title, or is he? See, because the story still could be that somehow he's going to finagle his way in. That's what you would assume. But most of the people, most of the so-called in-the-know people are saying, no, that's not what's happening. They have decided because they're bringing a guy like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk in, or maybe even Christian Cage, they're going to put them in that spot instead and make this a much longer path for Hangman Page. Well, look, if you put Christian Cage in there, I guess I'm okay with it because you're only doing it because you want it to be a longer path for Hangman Page, and that's fine. If you put Daniel Bryan or CM Punk in there, they ain't losing. They're not losing, especially CM Punk. He ain't losing. So what, he's going to just show up, challenge Kenny Omega, and then lose? No. So then there goes Hangman Page. And see, if that happens, then I totally disagree, because you've sent a clear message to your locker room as that homegrown talent who we have been promoting and building and building and building. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Weak side CM Punk, you're out of the title shot. And already there's bitterness. Already there's divisiveness. You don't want that. So if this is just a way to eventually get Hangman Page and Kenny Omega into the ring for the belt, fine. If this is an audible because you've signed two major talents and all of a sudden you don't need Hangman Page to have that belt, this is a problem. Todd, what's your thoughts on that? Hello, Todd. What's your thoughts on that? We don't have Todd with us. Mike, you don't want to send that signal. That would be a negative thing.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about it. You're right. They built this thing to the point of where I want to see that match. Yeah, I still, even though he lost, I still want to see that match. I still want to see Hangman Page and Kenny Omega, you know. And, you know, before AEW, I knew nothing about Hangman Page, right? I knew Kenny Omega did stuff in Japan and, you know, and I knew he was once in the WWE and all that stuff. But I didn't know anything about Hangman Page, and I like his character. I like what they're doing with him. Basically, I don't want to say it's a Stone Cold. I think it's more of a what's his name, James Storm type character, is what they're doing with Hangman Page.
Yeah, so, I would say so.
And I like that. And he's good on the mic. He's good in his character. He's good in the ring. You know. I want to see them do something with this character. And I want to see him have a long, I don't want to say a long slog, but I want to see him eventually take that title. Because right now, Kenny Omega is getting to the point of where you just want, he's going to win, you know, and he's almost to the point of the whole thing with Ric Flair. Yeah, he can cheat the win, or he can have the Good Brothers come in, or the Bucks come in and help him out, or whatever, or something happened with Don Callis, or whatever, you know. But he's getting to the point of he's good enough to, you know, the whole Ric Flair thing. Oh, Ric, you're beating his ass, and then all of a sudden, son of a bitch, Ric Flair won. Right?
Yeah, and I think that the end of this story has got to be, if you're going to do this the right way, the end of the story has to be Hangman Page wins. So if you're removing Hangman Page from the title picture and you're saying we're doing it because we're going to give that win to a guy like Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, because them being our title holder will mean more than Page, you're right. But at the same time, you've sent a really bad signal. You've sent a really bad signal to that dressing room that, well, you're homegrown talent, and these guys are much, 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 much more popular thanks to WWE. And at what point? Kenny Omega was the first champion they had that wasn't a WWE alumni, right? I mean, you had Ambrose, Moxley first, or Jericho, Moxley. So at what point do you say now you're going to have Daniel Bryan or Punk, all your champions besides Kenny Omega, a WWE guy? I don't know where this is leading. We'll wait and see. We'll be cautiously optimistic. It feels to me like this is just a swerve to get Hangman Page somehow back into that title picture. That's what it feels like. If I'm wrong, then I think AEW might have made a huge mistake. Now, speaking of huge mistakes, AEW clearly understands, I guess, that they sell their product as TV-14. Their sponsors rely upon that to make their decisions. Now, I know I have complained and said, well, what do these sponsors think? I mean, they sponsor Game of Thrones. Look at the horrible things that happened in Game of Thrones, and they're still sponsoring them. Correct. But they're told ahead of time. They're told ahead of time, this is the show that you're sponsoring, so you have an option. If you don't want your product associated with what we're showing, that's up to you. But as a company, you have the right to know what's going to happen to an extent in a show. And if you say, well, we don't know anything about wrestling, but you're guaranteeing us it's TV-14, so fine. As long as it's TV-14, we're comfortable, we'll advertise. Then I guess not only did they see the match between Moxley, the death match, if you want to call it that, with Gage and Moxley, but ironically and totally by accident, seconds after Moxley's being cut open with a pizza cutter, they go to a Domino's commercial where it shows a pizza cutter going through a piece of pizza. And Domino's was not happy. Domino's released a statement basically saying that they were told this was TV-14. What they saw was certainly not TV-14, and they will be giving some consideration to any future advertising. Now, you got two school of thoughts here. One school of thought is you tell Domino's, yeah, F you. We got people lining up to be our sponsors. You don't want to be a sponsor, fine. You want to be a wimp, and because a little blood was shown, you don't want to be on there, fine. There's plenty of people clamoring to be our sponsors. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought is you don't want to piss off your sponsors with a major TV network, and you're going to have to not do that anymore. You're going to have to be very cautious about crossing that TV-14 line. Personally, I'd go with the first one. Because I think if you bow down now, I think a lot of AEW fans are going to see that as very Vince McMahon-like and saying, well, what are you? We're back to the PG era. You can't do nothing now. You're going to be just like Vince. You're going to bow to the sponsors and say, okay, well, you know, what next? No chair shot. What next? No this. Are you going to let them run the Wrestling Federation? That's what's going to be said. AEW is 3 years on or close, and they are beginning now to understand that there's more to running a wrestling federation on a major television network than just putting on good matches. There's that thin line you have to walk with sponsors and people who may let their kids watch and keeping everybody happy, and there's a whole ton of stuff. And you can't just go out there like, this is our club and we're going to do what we want because we're all in it together. No. You can't do what you want because you got sponsors who are going to get pissed off. You got TV execs who are going to get pissed off. You got people who are watching who are going to get pissed off. And what are you going to do? You can flip the bird to them all. That's your right. But then, you know, that's what Paul Heyman did. When ECW was on the Country Music Network or whatever the hell it was on, the Country Music Network said, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. And he said, F you. I'm going to do every bit of it. Matter of fact, I'm going to do more. And you see what happened, right? So, Todd, it's going to be a little tough. At this situation, I understand what Domino's is saying, but I also understand that AEW has to be able to put on those matches on occasion.
Oh, yes, absolutely right. Like you said about Domino's and everything, and Domino's is this got their head up their butts. Actually, you know, it's they need to get their head out of their asses. That's like, listen, they're just doing a match, and was going to let it go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Derek in the chat room is saying if they really want to. If AEW really wants to be different and stand out from the WWE, they probably should tell the sponsors to take a hike because this is what we do. If you don't like it, don't advertise on our show. I agree, but then you're going to have to deal with the network who says, why are you blowing off our sponsors? You pissed off our sponsors, and now Domino's pulled ads from other TV programs we have because they got pissed at you. It's so hard. It's so much politics. That's the problem. The average fan doesn't see that. There's so much politics involved. So Domino's says to the TV network, we're pulling off of AEW because we didn't, you know, we feel we were lied to. And when we asked AEW if they would just, you know, calm it down a little bit, they basically told us to go F ourselves. So guess what? We're pulling all of our ads from all of your shows. Then the TV network gets in touch with Tony Khan and says, hey, what the actual F? You're costing us money with your idiots over there who want to use pizza cutters. Knock it off. And then it's not so funny anymore. And then Tony Khan has to say, okay, well, now, wait a minute. The TV network is telling us something. Now do I go to battle with the TV network? Right now, when I'm just at the verge of getting, you know, a million-plus fans, do I go to battle with a TV network over whether we can do this or not? Very difficult decision. Very difficult. If I were Tony Khan, what I would do is I would make my apologies to Domino's, especially for the bad timing of the commercial. I would tell them in the future, if anything like that is going to happen in a show, and it's going to be rare. It's only going to remember, this was a special show. It's very rare we do anything like that. On the occasion we're going to do it, you will be notified ahead of time. And if you don't want your commercials on that show, on that particular episode, it'll roll over to the next episode and that'll be fine. Because if you tell them to go F themselves, you're going to piss off the TV network, I'm telling you. It's a big mess. That's a big mess. Now, I personally like those type of matches. I was very, very, very shocked at the reaction online of people saying, oh, that kind of wrestling is so, I hate that, and it's too much for me, and what? What? I'm sorry, it wasn't Moxley, it was Jericho. I've got Moxley on the brain because, we'll get into that later. But anyway. The bottom line of the situation is wrestling fans have changed. I said this probably 2 years ago. I've been noticing that wrestling fans have, as wrestling fans got older, they have went over to or stayed with WWE. The new breed of wrestling fan who thinks wrestling is cool, they have it based on something totally different than most people who have been fans for a long, long time. In other words, the 17, 18, 19-year-olds now, they look at that and say, that's too violent, that's horrible, I don't like that. When I was 17, 18, 19, I was like, that's badass, and I want more of it. So it's a very different world. Now, and you could argue the pros and cons of that, too. I mean, let's face it. Wrestling is meant to be politically incorrect, and wrestling is meant to be violent. If you take away the violence and the political incorrectness, it's not very special, but that's my opinion. Other people would just prefer to see, I guess, two guys go in there and flip and flop and flip and flop, and that's what we do. And those guys sit there and eat popcorn and say, wasn't that a great triple flip-flop that he did? Yes, it was. I prefer to see guys take it to the limit because then you can take a look at a normal fan and say, they'd never do that. You know, normal fans take a look at that type of behavior or that type of match and say, that was brutal. I'd hate to be involved in something like that. Those are a special breed of people. I don't think you say that when you see people just flipping around. You're like, well, I can't do that, but if I was an athlete, I could do it, and I could flip and fly. Okay, but most guys would not want to be cut open with pizza cutters and barbed wire and all that kind of stuff. So it gives you their giving of themselves. they're tough guys. They're taking the cuts. They're taking the bruises. They're taking the falls, and they're giving of themselves rather than it's a ballet dance and look how good my moves are. But, again, it's a whole new generation of fans, so I don't know. I do know this. AEW has to give a little of that on occasion because they have fans who are into it. John Moxley signed for no other reason. I want you to know that. John Moxley signed that contract because he always liked the hardcore style and he wanted to continue to do a hardcore style. WWE did not want to do it. John Moxley did not sign because he wanted to do arm drags and hip locks and try to do flippity-flop moves off the top rope. He signed because they told him, you can do your harder-edged, hardcore-style wrestling here. That's what he wanted to do. What do you think Gage is? I mean, well, you think he come over here to see if he could hit a Hurricanrana? There are guys who that's what they do best. And AEW certainly is best off featuring all styles of wrestling, much like Paul Heyman did. A lot of people think Paul Heyman, it was ECW, is just, oh, barbed wire and fire and tables and tacks and thumbtacks and weapons. No. They had comedic matches. They had lucha-style matches. They had Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko in what I would call a very technical-type style matches. And, yes, of course, they had Sandman and Raven go at it. Yeah. But they had all kinds of styles. So does AEW. They favor a certain style, but they occasionally give you different styles. Now, some bad news for AEW. Apparently, Britt Baker is hurt again. And this is getting to be a problem because they don't have a great women's division, and she's probably the top person in there, and she appears to be very injury-prone. And so that's not good news. They're going to have to try. If she's out for any length of time, they're going to have to pick up the slack in a big way. They're going to have to go get a Tessa Blanchard or somebody big. Thunder Rosa is a good pickup. But you've lost Britt Baker, so you're kind of even. So that's a problem. Aside from that, I think, Mike, AEW is on the right track. We'll see how this Daniel Bryan and CM Punk thing affects it.
Right. And I just want to talk about the whole network thing and whatever. What was the WWE doing during the Attitude Era, right? And what were their sponsors? You know, I mean, for God's sake, they were having Stone Cold Steve Austin hit Vince McMahon with a freaking bedpan, right? You know.
Yeah.
You know, and Vince McMahon was making what's her name bark like a dog. You know,
you're right,
and all that stuff, and look, you know, yeah, it may have cost them some sponsors, but it got them other sponsors. It got them sponsors that were willing to advertise on that type of show. I mean, it's like,
well, two things there. Let's stop right there for a minute because two things. One is they were drawing 3 million people. If AEW was drawing 3 million people using a pizza cutter on somebody's head, Domino's wouldn't say a word. I promise you, Domino's wouldn't say a word because they'd say, I don't give a damn. There, obviously, a lot of people like this, and there's a lot of eyes on our product, so F that. But with just 1 million, here's what Domino's is afraid of. Domino's is afraid of the lady who says, I had my kid watching wrestling, and I'm appalled that your family company would sponsor a show where someone takes a pizza cutter to another man's forehead. What kind of company are you to give your money to a product like this? Blah, blah, because that's who you got. You got a bunch of whiny Karens who are going to get on the phone because they got nothing better to do and say, I'm not going to Domino's anymore because I'm highly offended. Well, what the hell? Does everything have to be for everyone? My hypersensitive 12-year-old, who gets upset if he even picks his finger and sees blood, was sitting watching AEW and saw blood, and now he's very, very, very upset. And I blame Domino's. Well, I blame you. Why is your kid watching it then? If he's hypersensitive and he can't stand any violence or the sight of blood, why the hell are you watching professional wrestling? Set him in front of SpongeBob. Had enough of that. But I do understand the position Tony Khan is in. Because his TV station, they're gonna, the network is going to say, we don't want to lose sponsors. And if we lose Domino's for AEW, maybe they pull out of all of our shows and just say, we're just not going to do business with this station, and that's bad. Anyway, let's move on. You're not going to believe this, folks. But I have it on very good authority that Jeff Hardy, because, of course, he got tested positive for COVID and could not compete this week on Monday Night Raw, Jeff Hardy was scheduled to win again. Yeah, you heard that right. Karrion Kross and Jeff Hardy's rematch was scheduled for last Monday, and the booking was he was going to win again. Now, I don't care how many talking heads in the wrestling business tells me or how many stupid fans write to me and say, oh, if you're Karrion Kross, Mark, is the only reason that you're upset. Oh, okay, well, then when CM Punk comes into AEW, maybe Sammy Guevara wraps him up for a three count in his debut. You think that's a good idea? No, because guess what? You'd be crying the next day, what the hell is AEW doing? CM Punk lost. That's what you'd be doing. Oh, but by the way, you'd be right. But you'd still be crying like a bitch. I don't even like Karrion Kross. This was a gigantic mistake. And if you don't see it's a gigantic mistake, you're just not very bright. You don't push a guy by having him lose. Oh, we got an angle involved in this. There's a whole storyline. Well, what's the storyline? He's just about to fight Samoa Joe in a big match. Aren't you supposed to let the guy remain strong until Samoa Joe? If he loses to Samoa Joe, fine. But he lost to Hardy before Samoa Joe. And he was going to lose to Hardy before Samoa Joe again. So you know what that does for Samoa Joe? It makes him look like, oh, well, of course you should be able to beat him very easily. You're Samoa Joe. You're a main star. Hardy's being used as a bum. And Hardy beat him. So if you can't beat him, Joe, you might have wanted to stay retired. No, it's supposed to be this big triumphant victory for Joe. It's supposed to be this hard-fought battle that Joe overcomes, and you say, wow, man. Karrion Kross was an undefeated dude, and Joe did it. Joe's badass. No, now it's not Joe's badass. It's like, well, of course Joe should have done it. Jeff Hardy beat you to it, Joe. That's not good booking. And you can't tell me it is. And because fans are mad, it doesn't mean that they're a big Karrion Kross fan. I've said from Jump Street, Karrion Kross didn't even belong in AEW or in NXT. He belonged in on Raw or SmackDown because he can't cut it. But Jesus, if you're going to do that, at least let him win. How about if Goldberg says to warm up for my match at SummerSlam with Bobby Lashley, I'm going to take on Angel Garza, and Garza beats him. How would that be? You know what would happen? Bobby Lashley would say, you better not do that, or I ain't fighting him. Because then that makes my victory look worthless. That makes me look like, well, big deal, so you beat him. Friggin' Angel Garza beat him. You should be able to beat him. That's what it looks like. You've taken all the wind out of the sails of Samoa Joe. It isn't about Karrion Kross, guys. I can't believe how the problem with fans, and again, when I started this show, Mike, Todd knows, Derek knows, I said I want to be the voice of the fans. I can't be the voice of some fans because some fans are just, there's something wrong with you. You're mostly just trolls. You're not even really fans. You don't know the business and you don't really like the business. You just want to get on and say, everybody sucks and everything sucks and your favorite wrestler sucks and anything that you say is wrong, whatever. If you know anything about the business, you know that Karrion Kross losing once is a disaster. Losing twice would be an unmitigated disaster. If you wanted him to lose so bad, how come he didn't lose to Keith Lee? Huh? How come it has to be to Jeff Hardy? I'll tell you why. Because he didn't want to push Keith Lee. Well, you're not pushing Jeff Hardy either. You just wanted to not push Karrion Kross. You wanted to take the wind out of Joe's sails, which is exactly what you did. It's exactly what they did, Mike. And you know, Karrion Kross is receiving crickets as a response when he comes out for it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's the thing. And, you know, and I don't want to say it's a good thing that somebody got COVID, but, I mean, in one respect, it probably is a good thing because, you know, that second match, that second loss is not going to take place. Well, it might take place at some point down the line, but it's not going to take place when they wanted it to take place, you know?
Yeah, that would have been an unmitigated disaster. I mean, that would have just been the disaster of all disasters. Now, Keith Lee has responded by basically saying he's not happy. Of course he's not happy. He's lost two matches in a row since he came back, which means that him being on the sidelines for this long, there's a bigger story to this. Now, he says he's going to tell the story. He said, I've made up my mind. I'm going to tell people. Just give me a week or so. I don't know what the story's going to be. It's obviously not injury because you can't be mad at a guy if he's injured. It's obviously not COVID because you wouldn't be mad at a guy if he caught COVID. You're not mad at Jeff Hardy, right? So there's something more to this story, and I don't know what it is. I'm looking forward to hearing what Keith Lee says it's about. The minute he says it, he's done. I got a feeling. I had a feeling you're going to see Keith Lee being one of the next guys released. Especially if he goes through telling this story. Because I don't think it's going to be a good story. I don't think it's going to be a good story for the WWE. And I've had some people whisper in my ear some things. And I'm not going to report it because I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if some of these things are true. But if so, it is going to be a problem. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes, Todd. But, I mean, can you imagine if Karrion Kross had lost two straight weeks to Jeff Hardy?
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about everything with what's going on with Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, especially Keith Lee. Well, like you said, I think he's done too. I got that feeling he just wants to get out.
Yeah, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. Put it this way, if the object was to say Karrion Kross is going through a major losing streak, he just can't seem to win, and then Scarlett comes along and he changes his whole attitude and perspective and he's a monster. Okay, well then he would have lost to Keith Lee too, right? Keep that storyline going. No, he won. So that's not the storyline. I'll tell you what the storyline is. And again, I have no proof of this. Storyline is Vince McMahon lets Samoa Joe go. Triple H is furious about it. Triple H hires him back to NXT. Vince McMahon gets his panties in a bunch and says, well, before Joe looks like a star over there and beats your champion, I'm going to make your champion look like garbage so it doesn't matter if Joe wins. Big deal, Joe won. So did one of my lackeys, Jeff Hardy, who I normally don't even use on TV, beat him twice. How's your big match going to go with Karrion Kross? I think that's what that's all about. I really do. As far as the Keith Lee story, we'll wait and see. Now, last week we said John Cena, we were surprised, was not at the show. John Cena wouldn't be at both Raw, SmackDown, whatever. He was at Raw. He was at Raw again this week and actually did a match. He did a dark match. I don't know why they didn't put him on TV. I guess maybe in case he effed up. But he actually wrestled Mason T-Bar with Matt Riddle. And he was only in the ring for like a minute. He did most of his little signature moves, and that was it. So it was probably just one of these things to get the fans in attendance. You know, John Cena's going to be there. He's advertised, I guess, or whatever. Now, as far as the AEW and this new pandemic thing going, I know that Tony Khan has expressed that he's extremely concerned that the sudden new wave of the Delta variant of COVID that's forcing some places to say back to wearing masks, even if you're vaccinated, back to social distancing, even if you're vaccinated. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not belittling this COVID virus in any way, shape, or form. I know people who got it. What I am going to tell you, however, is this. If you go back into lockdowns now and you can't do live shows anymore, wrestling is dead. It's not going to recover. It's over. Period. Because fans are going to desert it in droves. They've just got the taste of going back. They've just got the taste of the live crowds. And going back to this now is going to be a death blow. People are not going to understand. They're not going to say, oh, well, that's all right. They'll do the Thunderdome again, and the other place will go back to having just, you know, a few people in the audience. No, they're not going to. They're going to say, F this then. So we've got a problem. Now, obviously Florida and Texas and a few other states, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to follow this mandate. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they'll close their states. However, places like New York, California, they're going to do it. I'm telling you, I live in New York. I already see the writing on the wall. We already had the mayor of New York City, which doesn't affect where I live necessarily, say, oh, well, that's, you know, it's happening. We got mandatory vaccines coming. We tried to have people do the voluntary thing, and that didn't work, so on to the mandatory, and if we have to lock down, we're going to lock down. Businesses are going to close again. Well, you're done then. There was a mass exodus from New York anyway. Madison Square Garden couldn't sell any tickets to a WWE event because they were saying you all have to wear masks, and or you have to prove you've got a vaccine. To which fans said, "Then I'm just not going." Because I intended to go with my family, and I'm vaccinated, and my wife's vaccinated, but my 9-year-old kid's not, and I'm not putting a needle in my 9-year-old kid's arm when he doesn't need it. So, unfortunately, I just won't buy tickets. That's what happened. The wrestling business cannot survive forever not touring and not having live fans. I'm telling you, they'll just drift away slowly, slowly, slowly. People are asking me, well, what made the difference in AEW? All of a sudden, they're doing a million every week. Is it because of the quality of the matches, the booking, the signings? No, it's because of live fans. As soon as them fans got back into the arena, the feel was there again, and you at home were saying, oh, there's energy. There's a vibe. Can't wait to see it. Because I feel that energy, and I feel that vibe. That's why. That's exactly why. Take that away again, you're done. So, Mike, we got a little bit of a problem here because, you know, they're just starting to tour, and if they have to stick to one or two states, it could be a problem.
Right, and to tell you the truth, I don't think you got several other states that are going to be in this thing, and that, you know, that they're going to take a look at, you know, at what Texas and Florida are doing. And they're going to do it, you know, and they're going to – and there's going to be more than just Texas and Florida voting this way. You know, you're going to see – oh, yeah, you're going to see the liberal states like Michigan, New York, California, you know. For God's sake, L.A. is going back to having masks inside as well, you know,
right,
at inside stadiums as well. The Lakers and the Clippers and all that stuff, you know, that type of stuff. So, yeah, you're going to see that happen. You're going to see wrestling avoid states like that, like the plague, which is going to kill It's not going to kill WWE or AEW. What it's going to do is it's going to kill the little independent things like, I don't know, Northeast Championship Wrestling and things like
not
that.
Not only will it kill small federations, Mike, but it will greatly hurt AEW, and it will greatly hurt WWE, and I'll tell you why. AEW especially. According to Tony Khan, they made no money, or very little. They're just now starting to get into the money-making, starting to get into the black. Well, guess what? You go a step backwards and no more fans, and you got to just keep producing TV shows and taking the TV station's money as your only income, it ain't going to work. Vince McMahon could probably do it and turn it into a profit because his touring is so extensive and all that kind of stuff, but your ratings are going to drop. Because people are just going to say, I'm done then. I'm just done. I'm not going back to the Thunderdome. I'm just not doing it. It felt wrong to begin with. I got used to it. But now I've seen the fans. It's almost like giving somebody a taste of freedom and then saying, no, I'm pulling it away from you. And, you know, this is going to be tight. It's going to be tight. So what are we going to see on tonight's Friday Night SmackDown? Well, folks, I got to tell you, they better pick it up. Because while AEW is setting it on fire, the WWE is looking like the burnt-down ashes. Raw has been bad 3 weeks in a row. SmackDown has been way worse than normal for 2 weeks in a row. And this with fans back. Someone has got to step up here and take the bull by the horns in the WWE and say, let's get some stuff moving. And it's going to have to start right away. I mean, you got the road to SummerSlam here, which they're calling their new WrestleMania this year because they say, oh, you know, WrestleMania was good, but this is really our WrestleMania. Okay, well, let's get on with it because I'm seeing a mess. I'm even starting to see the denigration of the Roman Reigns angle, which really worries me. So, Todd, tonight, they got to turn it up a notch. AEW's turned it up a notch two weeks in a row.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with SmackDown lately, for the last couple of weeks, it's been a disaster. They need to get this thing started and turn it up a volume or two.
They do. Now, NXT this week was a good show. It wasn't an outstanding show, but it was a good show. And I think there's some things there that fans like. I know a lot of fans have written to me saying, I'm so happy to see, and this gimmick is playing out long term. Remember, it's long term. DiBiase first aggravates Cameron Grimes. Looks like he's Cameron Grimes' worst enemy. Then Cameron Grimes fights LA Knight for, you know, the Ted DiBiase's $1 million whatever. LA Knight wins. Then he turns on Ted DiBiase, and much to everybody's surprise, Cameron Grimes comes to DiBiase's rescue. But then they fight, and he has to or whatever. This is a very long-term angle. Very long. And it's working out pretty good, I think, Mike.
It really is, and I'm enjoying it to that point. Now, you know, you ask what they can do to – right now, the Roman Reigns angle seems to be kind of on a kind of, I don't want to say a treadmill, but, and we know that Naomi, they've already sent Naomi to SmackDown, right? They
yep.
need to start laying the seed with Naomi. That's
yes.
what can help this thing out. They need to start laying the seed with Naomi. And we know that's where they're going to go with this, probably. That's where they're going to go with this. So tonight they need to start laying those seeds down.
Mike, if they don't go with that angle, then that is actually booking malpractice. I mean, there is absolutely no way in God's green earth that you can't see that story right in front of your eyes. And if you can't, then I'm done because I have no faith at all. If you can't see that, then there's no point of even having writers in the WWE. Just let the guys go out and do matches. That's it. No stories. There's no point. Because you can't see them when they're right there. This writes itself. you know, some of the stories we come up with a little convoluted, and you say, okay, maybe writers don't see that in this guy. Maybe a writer don't see the angle that we see. But my God, this one is obvious. She's married to the dude. If you can't bring, and the whole story is about family, what I'm doing for family. Holy crap, you can't see that? So, Mike, if they don't pull the trigger on that, I mean, forget it.
Forget it. I have, I mean, whatever confidence I had in this angle and whatever confidence that I had in, I mean, apparently what we've said about this is that a lot of this stuff has been run through Roman Reigns, but a lot of it has also been run through Paul Heyman. And to tell you the truth, I would be surprised if that hadn't been running through Paul Heyman's mind, you know?
I would just have to assume that this is, you know, there's no other reason to even bring her over there. So it would just have to be the obvious story. Aside from that, only one other thing we wanted to cover, and that is the Tessa Blanchard situation. She has been a free agent for a while. And the WWE said they were interested, and I don't see it. And AEW, well, they didn't say they were interested, but they didn't say they weren't either. If you're going to sign someone like CM Punk who said some outrageous things, then I don't know why you can't sign Tessa Blanchard. Can't figure that out. You need it. The WWE at this point, they got enough women. It's just they don't know how to use them. AEW needs some more competitors, and a Tessa Blanchard would fill in nicely while Britt Baker is back to being injured. But you're going to have to address that situation sooner or later, AEW, and that is your top one or two female competitors are very injury prone. Very injury prone. WWE had this problem with Sasha Banks. And that's why they wouldn't give her the title for a long period of time. And she seemed to have solved that problem to some degree. But it took a while. And they had a lot of people as backup. I mean, they had Asuka. They had Charlotte. They had Becky Lynch. They had Carmella. They had Naomi. They had a lot of people. You really don't. So you can ill afford it. Anyway, enjoy SmackDown tonight, and we'll be talking to you on Tuesday or Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.